Name our class next year.
Yeah, next year.
Stick Jesus in him or her.
Is that pen supposed to go with it?
Or let God stick through you. Anyway, this is Jonathan Hegel. He's really the guy responsible for evangelism. I'm just the downtown guy. And I want to start trying to wake you guys up by sharing with you a story, a personal story of mine, and also playing some videos so that hopefully you'll stay awake. I grew up in Shanghai, China, in a Buddhist home in a communist country, and never heard of the name of Jesus Christ in Chinese or English or any language, never heard the gospel. Got straight to Houston when I was 7 years old, from Shanghai to Houston. So from 0 to 7, in the communist country, living in a Buddhist family, never heard the gospel. But also, surprisingly, I think, from 7 to 15, living here in the Bible Belt, where there are 3,000 churches in Houston, 600 supposedly evangelical Baptist churches in Houston, still never heard the gospel. Nobody bothered to intentionally share the gospel with me. I had so many Christian friends. They invited me to church. That's all they did. And so I'd like to say God kind of had to find me all by himself, directly, direct marketing. Cut the middleman. When I was 15 years old, the summer after my freshman year of high school, I was just walking around, probably just goofing around, doing nothing productive, and I found on the floor of my garage a book, and it said, "Good news, America, God loves you." Turned to find out it was an evangelistic Bible. And I picked it up. I didn't know it was a Bible. I didn't know it was a holy book of any kind. I just picked it up, and it was a guided Bible. It says, for the story behind the creation of the world, go to this page and read Genesis 1. For the story behind why we celebrate Christmas, go to this chapter, Luke 2, and read this page. So in the span of that afternoon, I had read some of the most important parts of the Bible. And it said, if you believe in all this, and this makes sense to you, you want to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus and follow him for the rest of your life, pray this prayer. And so I did. And that was the greatest day of my life, when I committed my life to the Lord. But I think my friends could have participated and had the privilege of leading me to Christ had they been equipped. Only had they been equipped to share their faith. And so that's why I'm so motivated to equip our saints here at the church to share our faith. Ephesians 4, what Pastor Greg is teaching on these few weeks. So one of the things that I do, this is kind of one of the last items we wanted to cover, but one of the things that I do is try to find creative outlets for sharing the gospel. And one of those things is the sharing economy. Anybody know what that means? The sharing economy? The coming sharing economy.
Like Uber, where normal consumers provide services for other consumers.
Peer-to-peer collaborative consumerism. Exactly, Uber. I will be sharing the gospel, hopefully, driving bar hoppers from bars to home tonight after Midnight Madness. I get to share the gospel 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4 rides as an Uber driver. I also do Airbnb. I have in my living room, right now probably, a guy from Denmark who has come to Rice University to take private trumpet lessons. He's in an orchestra in Denmark. Copenhagen Orchestra, and he's never been to a Protestant church. He plans to come to our church this Sunday. So Airbnb right now has 600,000 participants of people charging a very nominal fee to provide hospitality and rent out their room or their bed or their floor or their couch to whomever they find that they can trust on the internet. So it's not just take everyone who applies. You can have a conversation with them. So you can look up more about that. 600,000 hosts, 900,000 listings there are now. So I think next time you travel anywhere, for business or pleasure, instead of staying at a hotel, consider Airbnb. Air like airbed? Airbnb, the letters bnb.com. As a guest, I got started as a guest, and now I'm a host. And last year I had 30-some guests, and probably two-thirds of those came to church with me. Half of those had never been in a church, in any church before, and they all had good experiences, I think. At least that's what it is. So Airbnb is so popular now, they have an annual conference. And last November in San Francisco was the first time they had a conference. So I shared with you the testimony from a Christian. Now I want you to hear a testimony from an atheist.
Now, Paul, tell us about your favorite kind of guest experience that you've had.
Oh.
I had a very interesting case.
Sorry.
Where I had two women who are Thai, and they'd grown up together as children, and now one of them lived in Vietnam, and one lived in Texas, and they both married Chinese-American men, but they lived in different countries, and they stayed in contact over the years. And I had so much correspondence with one woman, it was almost insane. I talked about this in my peer-to-peer presentation. She was emailing me sometimes 3 or 4 or 5 times a day. And sometimes it was just things like, 5 days to go. So I'd write back and go, yay, counting down. And I wanted to keep the communication constant. I didn't want her to at all feel that I was sort of getting bored and shutting down the communication. By the time they finally arrived, and this was after 3 or 4 months after their booking, I finally got to meet them, and the night that I turned up at one of my apartments, I was coming down with quite a bad cold, and I was really just going to knock on the door and say, hi, I'm Paul. I'm your host. Thank you for coming and staying. Let me know if you want anything. And they went, oh, you sound like you're coming down with a cold. And I said, well, yes, I am. And they went, well, we're Thai, and Thai food is really good because it's full of spice. So please come in and have dinner with us in your own home at your own dining table. And it was just this lovely exchange where it was old friends who'd come together. They hadn't seen each other for 10 years. They'd never met each other's children. They were there with their husbands. They lived in one in Asia, one in America, and they were meeting in Australia. And I'm an atheist, and we're sitting at my dining table, and we all held hands. And one of the husbands said grace. And it was the most beautiful, I'm going to tear up, the most beautiful touching moment, and particularly because it had such a long lead in, to just share this lovely, intimate family moment with complete strangers who were no longer complete strangers.
Yeah. So it was all worth it? All the
it was. I have had some instances where there has been a lot of communication. I've never had a guest who I've met them and I thought, oh, I feel uncomfortable with you being in my house.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's all.
Okay, we'll stop there. But this atheist could have had his very first positive experience, or any experience at all, with Christians. And this could have been the bridge to the gospel. Jonathan used to drive for Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And Lyft, these things are going so fast that Lyft is no longer in Houston, but they may come back. But would you share your story?
Yeah. So part of what we're doing today is the idea of creating a culture of evangelism, particularly for you guys as you are all Life Bible Study leaders. How do you create that culture of evangelism within your Life Bible Study class? And it starts, honestly, with each one of you. Because if the leaders don't do it, then how can you expect the followers not to do it? And so that's kind of what got me into doing Lyft, because I spend a lot of time here at the church, and so I don't get an opportunity to really go and interact with people. So I started doing Lyft, and there was one day, one night, I just finished doing two rides, and on one of those rides, I actually got to share the gospel with a couple of ladies that were riding with me. I got to share the gospel with them, and then they got out. I was like, wow, that was awesome. God, give me another opportunity. Little did I know what lay in store. So I get a request, and you know, I drive over, I park in front of this house in the Heights. And it's a really nice house. I'm like, wow, it's a really nice place. And this lady comes out, gets in back, and you know, she types in the address. And so we're like, all right, we're going. And we started going on 45 towards the Beltway. And we start talking, and she starts talking about how it's important to tip and all the rest of it, because in Lyft you can tip. I was like, oh yeah, how, you know, do you work in the restaurant industry? And she's like, yeah, kind of, sort of. And I was like, okay, cool. And so we just kept talking. Come to find out, she was actually going to work. And she said, I'm going to work. I'm like, I'm going to work at 8, at 9, on earth? You know, I didn't say that out loud, but I was thinking, 8 at 9, what on earth?
And she wasn't going to Midnight Madness.
And she wasn't going to Midnight Madness. Turns out, and she shared this with me, she was going to her workplace, which was a strip club. And I didn't know this at the time, but the strip club that we were going to used to be a church.
Wow.
And it is, we have an organization that is called Elijah Rising, and they work specifically with anti-sex trafficking, anti-human trafficking. And they say that that's the darkest one of all of the ones that haven't been let in there. And so here I am driving, you know, this lady to her work, and funny enough, 45 was jam-packed because they had just closed down a couple lanes. And so I'm sitting there, and we get to have a conversation. She actually shares with me her story, how she grew up in the church, very wealthy family, Christian family, but was raped by someone within the church at a young age, and so that's kind of what led her to where she was currently. And so I got to share, you know, the gospel with her. But a couple things that did for me. One was, you never know what the story is of someone around you unless you ask. Unless you, you know, find out what's your story. And two, you know, the gospel that you share needs to have an impact now. Not just for eternity, although that's important. It is for eternity. But how is it that the gospel impacts you now, and how can it impact those around you? And once you begin to see that, then you can see how it brings healing even in those dark situations. So, yeah, ask around. I mean, you never know. The Heights. And it wasn't like a rundown home, nothing. It was, you know, she had a dog and everything, so, yeah.
Remind me of a, you know, this is probably a lot old. Okay, the point is this. I've wondered about this a while back, because I think what you're describing is a context where everything feels just kind of normal or whatever, and you can have these conversations, and I wanted to, you could, the best reference would be like our men's serve group,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I would love to have a situation where churches across the country, across the city or whatever, could have like a service day or something, to where we could all just be doing things together and have the same kind of conversation. You know, the churches would obviously have their members there, as many could, and then, but there'd be, you'd try and invite everybody.
Yeah.
Let's go
yeah.
plant trees today, or whatever it would
yeah.
be. You know,
absolutely.
But I think those, I would love for witnessing to be able to occur.
Yeah.
At that.
In a natural setting,
yeah.
in a natural way.
That's right.
And
yeah.
that's why one of the things, you guys have an opportunity in where you work, the places you go, even coffee shops you go to, look for those places and look for those people that you can connect with. One of the things that I'd encourage you guys personally, and then to take it to your life Bible study class, would be intentional about where you go. So for instance, instead of going one day to this Starbucks, going the next day to this Starbucks, and going, you know, to another one the day after, or different coffee shop or whatever, try to be intentional about where you go. So plan out Monday morning, I'm going to that coffee shop at this time, and I'm going to make a point to get to know the baristas, make a point to get to know the regulars that come at that time. And through that, you never know what God might do.
Mm-hmm. So I want to give you a challenge right now. Does anybody have a plan right now that they plan to do next week where you can intentionally share the gospel as a model for your life Bible study class?
Yes. I sometimes try to go through like the same, at the grocery store, I always go on Monday afternoon, so sometimes I try to go to like the same person and like
That's fantastic.
Wonderful. What's your name?
Pam.
Pam, you win a gift card to Chili's, Macaroni Grill, Mudge's. So you could maybe ask your checkout person. You don't go through the self-checkout, right?
No.
So, I've been sure. Sometimes technology works against evangelistic relationships. I'll let Jonathan go ahead and give you an overview of the tools that we as a church provide across campuses for Life Bible Study leaders and everybody to be equipped to share their faith. And it's our hope that you would encourage folks of your class to live out Ephesians 4, to allow the evangelists, apostles, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So it's not just the ministers that are sharing our faith in this church. It's all the saints so that we can reach unity and maturity in Christ.
Cool. Well, first off, I want to pose this question really quick. You guys are all, I assume, in some role in a Life Bible Study class. And so I want you guys to think about this question for a second. What challenges do you guys face in creating a culture of evangelism in your Life Bible Study class? What are some things that you face? What are some things that you come across, or you think you might come across?
Lack of urgency, like...
Lack of urgency?
Yeah.
A sphere of timidity?
Yeah. Timidity?
I think that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Almost even if it's not known, a lack of caring.
Yeah.
It's a very self-centered society that we live in. It's like, it's Saturday morning and I would rather sleep in than go serve. I just don't care enough.
Yeah, absolutely. There's kind of that goes along with the lack of urgency. You're just like, Yeah.
But you make a good point, like it's not known. Like if they did know, perhaps they would care.
Yeah.
Probably having too many irons in the fire, just so many responsibilities, especially with families with children, with
absolutely.
Besides the things that are going on with school, but on weekends, you know, the sporting events and you know, whatever else comes up.
Yeah. We often get so busy with our lives that we don't have the opportunity to intentionally make those times. Yeah.
They don't know how to do it.
Yeah, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. That's part of why we have these tools available, is so that won't be one of the reasons that people will actually know how to share the gospel. Cool. Anything else? Any other challenges?
Yes,
face. Yeah.
Find connecting points so you can.
Finding connecting points. Absolutely. What about? In your Life Bible Study class, as a Life Bible Study class, so during that hour, hour and a half, is it easy to bring people in? Is it more difficult? What do you think on that?
To bring
non-Christians in, to
like bring your neighbor in,
right?
I don't think it's the bringing them in that's the problem. Is people feel uncomfortable
while they're there?
No, people feel uncomfortable necessarily just inviting someone unless they already have a relationship.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of times people don't have relationships outside their little comfort zone where everybody's the same.
Right. So the challenge for people to make connections outside so that they would actually feel comfortable bringing them in. Fantastic. Good. Well, all those are things I'm going to talk about just briefly, and then going to go through all the different options that we have for sharing the gospel. So first off, it's gonna seem kind of strange to go this route, but what is evangelism? And I'm actually not going to go through too much, but evangelism is often a scary word. It's often a word that we, you know, associate with standing on a corner with a bullhorn. You know, that's often what we picture. And what happens is people become afraid to share the gospel because they have an idea of what it is. So what is evangelism? What do you guys think? Just in a nutshell. And what is it?
Sharing the gospel.
Sharing the gospel.
Well, I mean, I want to ask you this question. I mean, that would be my default answer, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
I've found myself thinking in the last 6 months or so, if I might not feel more comfortable or I might not have more success in engaging a conversation with something like this, as you know, here's what Jesus has taught me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm saying that because I might feel I could share that more easier than saying, you know, Jesus died for my sins, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. How about you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jesus taught me to be, you know, to care for the orphans and the widows,
mm-hmm.
or however. I mean, you know, and so, now, I haven't done that. But at some point, I just wonder if there needs to be a bridge, you know,
yeah.
and that might be seen taking in the nervousness of me,
right.
and even thinking that is that, well, that's not sharing the gospel, at least as I are sharing it in terms
right.
of.
Well, and we'll talk briefly about that as we go through some of the tools, because some of the tools that we have specifically focus on how to build those bridges.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, let's see if this works. We'll not skip. We'll just go ahead and keep going because I don't have a whole lot of time. But essentially, what we would come to is it is simply sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. Evangelism comes from the word euangelion, which means good news. So it's simply declaring the good news. It's not trying to convince them. It's not trying to force them to. And that passage, John 16, 5 through 10, talks about the Holy Spirit's role and how the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. So it's not our job to convict. It's the Holy Spirit's job. We just simply proclaim. Now, the next question would be, who do we proclaim it to? And this is something that I think is really important, specifically within kind of where we are in the church. Oftentimes we think evangelism is just for non-Christians. But I would say evangelism is just as important for you and Christians around you as it is for non-Christians. The reason I say that is this. Paul, in all his letters, shares the gospel. He has the gospel in there. 1 Corinthians is a great example. He says, remember the gospel that I preached to you. This is of first importance. He's talking to believers. He's saying, you guys need to remember this. Because whenever the gospel is real to you, and real in a current sense, that you see how it impacts your life here and now, then all the more it'll give you that impetus to share with others. Because when someone asks you, why do you have such hope? Well, let me tell you. This last week, I was struggling with comparison. I was comparing myself to someone else, and then I realized, man, I'm a child of God. I'm his son. I don't need to worry about that. So, who do we share the gospel with? First, share with ourselves. So one thing I challenge you guys to do is share the gospel to yourself first. And then, share it with other Christians. Share it with those around you who are experiencing things and see how the gospel impacts whatever they're going through. And then, obviously, share with non-Christians. So kind of those three things, us, other Christians, and non-Christians. And you'll see how the gospel impacts every aspect of their life and every aspect of your life. It's not just kind of the external fuel tanks on a rocket ship that just detach whenever you don't need it. You know, once you get back up into orbit, it's the engine that keeps everything running.
So it's like discipleship.
Yeah, absolutely. And we often try to disassociate the two, discipleship and evangelism. They're really hand in hand. They go together. And so one of the things in your life, Bible study class, if you're a teacher specifically, but even a director or in any leadership, in your life Bible study class, try to make it a point to have the gospel prominent in every class period. And it may sound weird because it's like, I have to do it over and over again. But once you see that it does impact every part of your life, then it ceases to become something that's just rote. And you see how, man, that helps me with this particular situation that I'm going through. And then what happens is, as you begin to share the gospel every class period, whenever someone who's not a Christian comes in, they get to hear it. And it becomes, you know, it becomes natural instead of it being just, we're going to have one specific Sunday that we're going to share the gospel. So we're actually, well, talking about motivation, what should our motivation be to share the gospel? Oftentimes we think it's a long road and it's like, I don't know if I can run all that way. But, you know, you're not a runner? Now you are. But obviously our motivation doesn't want to be out of here. And so this goes back to, yeah, you probably run that pretty quickly.
The downtown campus is assembling our 2016 marathon team.
So that would be your motivation. Obviously our motivation doesn't want to, we don't want it to be out of fear. And so in your life Bible study classes, in your small groups, you don't want it to be out of fear or out of guilt. Anybody have any idea what our motivation should be?
Love.
You get the answer? Yes. Love. Absolutely. Love should be our motivation.
And love for God and?
Love for God and people. If you want, you can read 1 Thessalonians 2:8 and 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. Both of those passages, Paul is talking about the love that he has, how in 2 Corinthians, he says that it is the love of Christ that compels us, that moves us forward. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he says, because we loved you so much, we were willing to share the gospel and our lives as well. So love should be our motivation. And so that goes back to the caring. Once you really begin caring for someone, then you can't help but share good news. So, all right, now to get to some practical stuff for your life Bible study class. When you're teaching or talking about Christianity or you know, spiritual things, and Lee will attest to this, use common language. What I mean by that is often we tend to go Christianese, and so for someone who has no biblical knowledge whatsoever, being washed by the blood of the Lamb sounds really, really scary. So, I'm going to show a quick video of something that hopefully will illustrate the point. Go.
Das hier ist das Wichtigste, das Beste, das Überlebenswerte.
You guys can hear it, right?
Yeah. Anybody speak German?
Mayday, mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We're thinking.
What are you thinking about?
What are you thinking about? Oftentimes, we say something and we think the other person understands what we're saying, but it may be completely different. So when you're talking to someone, even when you're talking to someone outside of your life Bible study class, particularly now in Houston, we're now the most diverse city in the world. So we've got people from all different countries, all different walks of life. And Inside the Loop particularly is becoming more postmodern and post-Christian. And what I mean by that is essentially there are people now and people that I've talked to inside the loop that have no biblical concept whatsoever or have a very skewed biblical concept.
And we also have churches that teach skewed biblical concepts, frankly.
And so when you say something, you know, sinking, and someone interprets it completely different, they're like, oh, that's what you mean, right? It's like, no, that's not what I mean. So, for instance, taking the word repentance, to repent, we all can probably understand what that means, and we've heard it enough. But what would it be, and let's do a quick little exercise, how would you explain repentance to someone who has no idea, no concept?
Just turning away.
Turning away?
Alter course.
Alter
course. Make a 180.
Yeah, make a 180. Make a 180 in what? Alter course where?
To God, away from sin.
Yeah.
To God, away from sin. And what would that look like? Like turning away from...
Almost evil. I mean,
evil.
I was going to say, but I mean, I'm almost going to replace... And again, I get nervous about saying it, replace sin with evil, because I don't even know, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what sin would mean to some people.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Placing an idol or something of more value than the
right.
Creator.
Basically, what it comes down to is turn away from your current way of thinking that you're in charge and believe that Jesus is in charge and he's the one to follow. That's kind of what it,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What it is. You know, turn away from how... You've thought the way that you've acted, that I'm in charge, believe that Jesus is the one who's truly in charge.
For those who like Greek, it's metanoia. Meta,
yeah.
Like metabolism, meta change, noia, mind.
Your mind.
Like you're paranoid, you're beside your mind.
So, a fun game to play would be like Christian taboo. So you try to describe a word, like righteousness or something, and can't use any of the words. That would be easy to do. But it's difficult at first. To begin thinking that way and talking that way. But what it does is a couple things. One, it helps that person understand what you're saying so that they don't have a skewed view and it's like, you know what, I'm just going to tune them out. The other thing it does is oftentimes these words that we've said, that we say, have become so ingrained in us that we kind of forget what it means, what it really means. And so doing that exercise of coming up with a different way of explaining it helps you develop a better understanding of what you know that word means, or you rediscover it, and like, wow, that's amazing. So that exercise will help. That'll help develop that culture. Also, we were talking about time. No thanks, we're too busy. If you can't see that, that's a square wheel. No, you know what, we're good. Sometimes we need to take a step back, evaluate our lives personally, where are we investing time? Also, as Life Bible Studies, take a step back, where are we investing time, where are we investing effort, and how can we direct it better towards evangelism or outreach? So now we'll talk a little bit about the actual opportunities that we have. But any questions so far on any of that? Cool.
Make it simpler.
Make it simple. Make it simple. And it is. Essentially, you know, the gospel is Jesus is king. He's the one who's in control. And he died so that you would be with him. And have that relationship with him. Marty, can I ask you a question here with that?
Actually, let me give you a few more.
So would it be incorrect to say that he died, let's see, for you to have a relationship with him and what he wants you to know or what he wants you to learn?
I think you'd have to get a little more into it than that, because otherwise they'd be thinking, well, why did he have to die?
Right.
You know,
and
so
sometimes what happens is you only have a small little bit of time, and so if you give a short little synopsis and then they're like, ooh, I want to hear more. So an example, has anyone seen Les Miserables? Seen the movie? Amazing, right? Well, I have a friend who one time asked someone about it, like, what is it about? And typically when you ask somebody about a movie, it's like, you know, oh great, here it goes. And they're going to go on a big tirade about how amazing it was and everything, and you get lost. But instead, what happened was really interesting. He asked his friend, oh, what was it about? And he sat there and thought, said, it's about a man who's so obsessed with justice that he becomes unjust. And a man, though unjust, finds mercy and becomes just. And I know the downtown people are looking at me like, I know who that is, it's Russell Minnick.
Yes.
But, yeah, he works in the missions office, so I take that story from him. But would you like to go see that movie? For those who haven't seen it? A man so obsessed with justice, he becomes unjust. And a man Another man, though unjust, finds mercy and becomes just. I'm like, I want to see that movie. So, that sometimes that's what you get. You just get those little bits, and they're like, wait, no, you need to tell me more. What's that about? What do you mean? So, here are our evangelism equipping opportunities. First off, our Share Your Faith workshop. We actually have one tomorrow morning, so I may just sleep here. But you guys don't have to come to it. We're going to have another one March 28th, so if you guys want to put that on your calendars. Basically, what the Share Your Faith workshop is, it's kind of the basic ground level, how do I share the gospel? And it's basically, if you have a hand, you can share the gospel, because it's using your hand as a memory tool to remember the 5 points in the gospel. So both will be from 8:30 to 3:00. The reason for that is we're going through a lot of material and we want to make it stick. So we don't just want to go through it and then you guys like forget about it. But we'll have that, and we'll also have a time of practical application. So for lunch, going to Memorial City Mall or the Galleria and having lunch and engaging with people in conversation as you're having lunch. But anyway, so tomorrow, but also March 28th. Then we have XEE, which is basically EE, which is Evangelism Explosion, for Generation X and Generation Y. So kind of the postmodern, how do you reach that postmodern culture? And specifically, it focuses on how do you ask good questions to get to gospel conversation. So, if you wanted to show the video.
Yep, got a video from a couple years ago.
And then just switch
the clip. Oh, okay.
But basically, what that one is more focused on is relationally, how do you engage, how do you then build the bridge to sharing the gospel. So that's what.
How many weeks?
And it'll be 8 weeks.
I'm so excited about XEE. Philemon 1:6 tells us that I pray that you be active in sharing your faith so that you would know every good thing that we have in Christ. And that's the thing about sharing our faith, is we're actually blessed. We realize all the great things that we have in Christ. We need to be sharing our faith, and oftentimes we're scared. And XEE gives a great track for us to be able to learn how to share our faith.
Initially, when I used to think of the word evangelism, I used to always think of something scary and something that only the weak could do.
I feel like a lot of people just have a fear of sharing the word and not knowing the right words to say.
Before XEE, I always had the desire to share the gospel and to reach out to my friends, but I didn't really have that follow-through to actually do it.
XEE is this great tool that will help you connect at a deeper level with your friends, where you'll learn relational skills of listening to people and detecting people's gestures. In addition, it will teach you some stories to help you articulate the gospel of Jesus.
I actually got involved in Evangelism Explosion when I was in my 20s. I saw it go from a church in Fort Lauderdale to literally every nation on earth. It's been a wonderful, exciting journey with this ministry. Now to see it re-imaged for the 20-somethings of this generation has been a great experience with XEE.
I learned so many evangelism methods. For me, XEE was the one that stuck with me the most, just because there was that focus on relationships, there was that focus on getting to know people and their stories, and then connecting that with the story of the gospel.
It's easier to share the faith, it's more natural, so I think it's more authentic that way.
It's given me tools to make it more conversational rather than confrontational.
I learned that I can just do life with people and share the gospel through everyday conversation.
It's about, you know, getting to know the person, the individual.
Yeah, I've used the principles I learned in XEE to help me share my faith with one of my best friends last fall, and I found out a few weeks ago that he put his faith in Jesus Christ.
XEE has helped me to not neglect the here and now and the present, and how a relationship with Jesus Christ can affect your quality of life on earth.
Christians will come away with the confidence to boldly share their faith.
In the Bible, it says, whatever we have learned, whatever we have received, whatever we have heard and seen in the Lord, that we're supposed to put that into practice. And He will grant us that peace we need to be comfortable with sharing His word.
Now each new conversation and interaction and friend becomes an opportunity to share the good news of forgiveness and life to the full found only in Jesus Christ.
He gives us a track to follow to be more comfortable with sharing the word of the Lord. I feel like God hasn't really changed you until He gives you to change others.
If you get nervous sharing your faith, you don't feel confident in your ability to articulate the gospel, maybe you don't even know where to start, and XCE is for you. Come join us, 4 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, starting September 19th.
Not September 9th.
No, not September 9th. It's close. 3:45 to 4:45 and room 249. It actually starts this Sunday as well.
Cool.
So, there you go. And the cool thing is, what we'll be doing in the Share Your Faith workshop, you'll get a brief kind of review of that in the first class. And so, and then we'll delve in a little deeper. So that's XEE. Any questions on that? Next one, Everyday Evangelism. We're planning to start it in April. It would be around the same time. And also we'll get a room reserved for it. Basically what Everyday Evangelism is a combination of XEE, principles of XEE, and the classic EE, Classic Evangelism Explosion, kind of melded together. And it's a little bit shorter. It's 5 weeks instead of 8, so it's a little bit easier to handle. So that's that one. And all of this is going to be, all the information is going to be on that sheet that you have. Next one, Crown Heart World. This is something that friend Russell Minnick actually developed while he was ministering for 15 years with unreached people groups in China, Thailand, Burma area. And basically, it's how to keep the biblical story kind of together in one kind of framework. So basically, you can draw the biblical story on a napkin, is what it comes down to. It is a little difficult, and it can seem a little intimidating at first, but it's well worth it. And not only for sharing the gospel, but also for yourself in your growth and development as a Christian. So that's another option we have, and that's actually on Wednesdays during Midlink. So it starts this coming Wednesday. And you don't have to do all of these. Remember that, too busy? Choose. We'll have them again, so don't worry. And then this is the last one I'm going to show. During the bonus semester, so we kind of have an extra couple weeks at the end of Midlink, I'm going to be teaching a class on questioning evangelism. I know that sounds kind of weird. What? You're questioning evangelism? But the premise of this book, it's a book written by Randy Newman, is instead of thinking about what the next response is in a conversation, so the next answer, so someone asks you a really difficult question and you're like, oh, I got to have an answer, think of a question to ask to get to the bottom, to kind of to the root of what they're saying. So for instance, I had someone recently talk, you know, ask me, why would I go to church? They're all a bunch of hypocrites anyway. Why would I do that? I'm like, that's a good point. Kind of, what's your process of how did you get to that conclusion? And not saying it in a rhetorical way, but saying it actually wanting to figure out what, you know, how it is that they got to that conclusion. And that totally threw them for a loop because they weren't used to that. Usually, you know, they just say it, then they get some kind of answer, they tune out and be like, ah, whatever. And you could see the wheels turning and being like, okay, why do I say that? And then finally in the conversation, turns out that person had been hurt by the church, or hurt by someone in the church. And so we were able to have a good conversation. So that's kind of the principles behind that. What we're going to be teaching there is basically teaching you the art of asking questions. And not always having to have a definitive answer for everything, but being able to ask questions that then get the conversation to a deeper level. Because often what happens is you get a you get something and then it's just a smoke screen, just be like, oh, that's one of the questions that stumps all Christians, so I'll just throw that out there, we'll be good. So asking questions to get to a deeper level. So that'll be May 6th through the 13th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Also, as a Life Bible Study leader, you're probably like, well, where can we serve as a Life Bible Study class? We have a bunch of local ministries that we partner with here in the city. And so you can go to houstonsfirst.org /connect/give/missions, and there's a little tab on the side that has mission trips, interest form, and then there's a little tab that says local missions opportunities. And there's tons of them. So we've got the Faith Center, Food Pantry Close Closet, that's a great opportunity. We also partner with organizations like Generation One in the Third Ward. We also have partnerships with Refugee Ministry in the city. So there's plenty to choose from. So you say, oh man, there's nowhere to serve. There's plenty of places to serve. So, and lastly, give you guys my contact info. Another option, aside from just these classes, is if you guys are like, man, this would be great to have a small group, or maybe just have one day Life Bible Study, you know, get away, go through this, I can help with that as well. Either equipping you specifically to teach it, or I can come in and give the teaching as well. So.
You mean within the Life Bible Study class or a separate time?
Within the Life Bible Study class, separate time, whatever works best. So those are some other options as well. But you can reach me, that's my cell number, and then my email address as well. So any questions? No, that was like fire hydrant. But
I'll share with you two other special interest evangelism classes that I'm teaching. At our downtown ministry center at Vine Street Studios, the Sharing Jesus and the Sharing Economy. It's a 1-day, 2-hour kind of workshop. It's 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday, March 23rd. We'll actually have our web-enabled devices and go through some of the sharing economy platforms and talk about creative ways to connect with people and share the gospel with them. Jonathan was one of the first in our city to use a service called Instacart.
Yes.
Some groceries. So you can now have grocery delivery. The first order is,
awesome.
Is not free groceries, but the delivery is free.
The delivery too. Yeah, she was a great delivery.
And I'm sure that your driver works in your area, so you can see them repeatedly. Also, Houston, as Jonathan mentioned, is the diverse city now. And we have about 350,000 people of Chinese origin, including myself. Yeah. So there's been a lot of scholarship that has gone into what is the origin of the Chinese written language. And a lot of these scholars, some Christian, some non, say that it can be traced back to the stories of Genesis and even the story of the gospel. So I just want to show you one of the characters that I teach. If you can go back to
HTML3.
But I'm doing this 2-hour workshop Monday, April 6th, 7 to 9 p.m., also at Vine Street Studios. I thought we'd have a whiteboard, but I just did a Google Translate of the word for righteousness. Trying to blow it up really big. Too big, huh? Okay, can't see it very well. This is the Chinese character for righteousness, and if you look at it with two parts, the top part and bottom part. The top part is the word righteousness is pronounced E, and the top part is the word for lamb. Or young, and the bottom part is the word for I, or me, or wo. So, how do we achieve righteousness? His lamb over me, righteousness. Now, this is traditional Chinese, and the communists
try to even change this to a simplified form. But they couldn't, still couldn't, I think unknowingly, they couldn't leave the gospel out of it. This is the simplified version, a cross with blood. So, interesting things in the Chinese language.
So there are two more opportunities. And yeah, you can, if you want, you can also just contact me about those and we'll connect you with Lee if those are things that interest you.
And I'll be happy to train you to teach these if you like. The Chinese writing is a bit harder. And I can't do it myself. I have to.
Yes, Google Translate.
Stick to my script, but I can certainly teach you to teach it, but I can't come to your classes.
Well, let me pray for us because the time's done. But if you have any questions afterwards, feel free to come up and ask. But let me pray for us and then we'll get going. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your provision for our salvation. God, that you saved us from separation from you and from death, and you have saved us to life, and you have saved us to love you and to love one another well. And so I pray that we would grow in that, and I pray that you would help us to create a culture of evangelism wherever we go, sharing the gospel first with ourselves and then with other Christians around us and with those who don't know you yet. And so Lord, I pray that you would grant us that wisdom to discern what to say, what to ask in those conversations, and Holy Spirit, would you give us the right words to speak? And I pray that you would equip us and empower us as we go, even from this place tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you haven't signed the sign-in sheet, please be sure and put your name down. And Pam, I need you to fill out a little card.
Okay.
This little card right here.
Just sign it. It's just so we can track
IRS.
One
yes.
more sign-in sheet somewhere.
I've got one.
Yeah, that's actually what it is.
Yeah. Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, because
anybody else need to sign?
If we don't, we get audited.
You need a pen?
And we've just given a gift card away.
Oh, the gift card.
Yeah.
Something
else. Irish checks are membership. Do you remember
Don't forget to go grab a cinnamon roll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
He's worked there.
Yeah, he's worked there. That's awesome.